Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. Did everybody have enough to eat the last few days? I guess you all did. It's a great day for eating on Thanksgiving. Anyway, welcome to the program. This is Susan Puzio, and this is the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, and we're also on Rapture Ready Radio on Blog Talk Radio. So we want to give a big hello to everybody there also. And also, we do have a YouTube channel, and it's under my name, Susan Puzio. And don't forget now, you can help your flaky friends over the Christmas holidays. I have a book out called Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. So that book is available on Lulu.com, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. And I saw somebody selling it on eBay. Isn't that nice? So, it makes a good gift, especially if you have friends that believe in tithing and they believe in seed sowing. They believe in paying God off. And today you'll even hear, I have an audio clip from Mrs. Ivy Hilliard Bridget, and she's on a television program with her daughter and her husband, and she actually tells George Bloomer that when the children need their dad, they go to him as dad, but when they need him as pastor, they go to him as pastor, and they actually sow a seed. The children actually have to sow a seed to their father when they want prayer or something from their father. Now, believe it or not, I couldn't believe that one. And also the daughter, when she is talking about her father, she refers to him as pastor. Now, I don't understand why they can't just call him dad. We know that he's your dad. He works as a pastor. And so, like, if he works as a janitor, you put janitor in front of his name, and then you, instead of saying dad, you say janitor. It doesn't make any sense. but you know what? If you go online and you look at Ivy Hilliard, put in Ivy Hilliard House, okay? Now, you know, Ivy Hilliard, wow, this house, he refers to his wife as his queen. So Ivy Hilliard, he lives in this house. It kind of looks like a palace. A friend of mine told me, and it hasn't been thoroughly confirmed yet, but told me that the house is 40,000 square feet. 40,000 square feet? So if you take a look at this, it's called the Ivy Hilliard Compound, and it's in Klein, Texas. You can see a picture of it on the internet. The website is Virtual Globetrotting. Okay, he's got a compound there. So he has several houses there surrounding his huge palace there that he's got. And it looks like probably he has houses for his children. So if you're a good child of Ivy Hilliard, you get to live in one of these houses. So I guess, and he's saying on this program that his children, they wanted to join him in the ministry. It's very lucrative to work with Dad in the ministry if you can live in a 40,000 square foot house. Yikes. And then they even talk about driving a Bentley. So keep those tithes and offerings rolling in. It's very lucrative to be a pimp. But you know what? What good is it going to do you when you collapse to the floor like Ivy Hilliard did about a month ago? Let me read the story to you. See, Ivy Hilliard, now you've got that big palace over there in Klein, Texas. But what good did it do you, Ivy, when you collapsed? You collapsed during your conference. You collapsed to the floor. Now, when you collapse, when you just drop to the floor just like that, that means that there's something pretty bad wrong with you. There's something pretty bad wrong when you just drop to the floor all of a sudden, especially when you're having a conference, okay? So it says here that Ivy Hilliard lost a tremendous amount of weight and is said to have collapsed during his conference a week or so ago. This was October 26th. It was at that time, we are told, some specialist was flown in to treat Ivy Hilliard, but he had not been hospitalized and was going to struggle through to finish his conference. Well, struggle is exactly what it was, and he eventually was admitted to the hospital. They say, we don't know what is plaguing Ivy Hilliard, but of course they're not going to tell you what's plaguing Ivy Hilliard, because he's a man of faith. He's not going to make a confession that he's sick. So then there was also a post on Facebook. It's an update from the Ivy Hilliard family and New Light Church. The Hilliard family and New Light Church appreciate your interest and concern regarding the health of Bishop, and he calls himself Bishop, Ivy Hilliard. Bishop is in great spirits and strong in faith for a supernatural recovery. Everyone that has attended to Bishop have been believers. No, you don't want anybody around him making any negative confessions, you know, because that might make him sick, but I don't know. Was somebody making a negative confession when he dropped to the floor? I don't think so. I don't think Ivy was making any, or Bridget. But anyway, they don't want anybody around him except believers who stand in faith with us for total healing. Bishop had a great day today, and the doctor gave an amazingly great report. Again, thank you for your prayers, and as we continue to believe for his speedy recovery and total healing. Well, we don't wish Ivy any harm, but really, what good does it do you to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Because I don't care how many faith confessions you make. You can make all the faith confessions you want about healing, but it's up to God, really, if he's going to raise you up or he's not going to raise you up. Take, for instance, Kim Clement. A year ago, Labor Day, he also he had a stroke. He had to be rushed to the hospital. He had some kind of brain surgery. Then he had another stroke. Then he had some kind of another brain surgery. Then they found out he had a brain tumor, which was cancerous. And so he was in and out of the hospital for over a year, and he was having many health problems, and of course they too were making their faith confessions, and they were coming in and they were prophesying about how God was going to raise him up, and he was coming back bigger and better than ever. And of course, you know, he passed away last week. So There's nothing wrong with believing for healing. I believe Jesus is a healer. I believe he is a miracle worker. But if it's your time to go, you're going. You can pray all you want. But the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. So we can't miss that appointment. And Kim Clement has passed away. And I don't really know where he went. I don't know what went on in his mind before he passed away. And, of course, we know that if you go to Kim Clement's website, and you can see this for yourself, and I know we've talked about this before, but now Kim Clement was a regular, too. He was a regular on TBN, and he was a regular on some other so-called Christian networks, but he was a favorite there of Matt Crouch and Paul and Jan Crouch, and he always gave some glowing prophecies over there. But you'll see on now Kim Clement in his on his website, and if you go to KimClement.com and then you go to About, and then you click on Beliefs, you'll see what his beliefs were. So now that he claims that he's a prophet, and they say that he went on to be onto glory, but here's what he says. John 3:3. When Nicodemus approached Jesus and commented on how he recognized God was with him, his great miracles, and for being a great teacher, Jesus responded by telling him that he must be born again to see, and he puts "see" in quotes, the kingdom of God. The next step is to enter what is seen. Jesus did not say that you must be born again. No, Jesus didn't say that. Oh, wow. I guess the Bible isn't real. I guess what Jesus said, he didn't really say, according to Kim, because Kim says, Jesus did not say that you must be born again to be saved or to escape from judgment. In fact, the New Testament, you will not find examples of Christ or his disciples instructing and warning the crowd to get born again in order to be saved. From what Scripture reveals, it is possible that Jesus did not even use the same terminology again when teaching about the kingdom of God. Okay, so my question is, if Kim Clement believed that you weren't supposed to be born again, how did he go to heaven? I don't know. Except maybe in the end of his life, when he realized that he was a false prophet, maybe he realized it. I don't know what happened on his deathbed, because I'm sure he knew he was dying. And was he conscious? Was he unconscious? I don't know. But according to this, and these are his words, you can see them on his website. These are his quotes. Like I said, go to KimClement.com. If you have any friends that, if you ever talk about Kim Clement and you tell them he was a false prophet and they get angry with you or whatever, take them to Kim Clement's website and click on About. You'll see it up on the top, About, and then click on Beliefs, and then read this to them, okay? Read this to them. I know I was born again. I remember the exact moment I was born again. I know being born again is a real experience. I know Jesus said you must be born again. So, but Kim says Jesus didn't say that, and so I don't understand then how he could have been saved himself if even he didn't believe that you had to be born again. I don't know. So they have what they call a so-called church over there in wherever his church is. And they have they call their church the Den. Now, who calls their church the Den? I don't know. The Den of what? What am I going to say to my friends when I'm going to church and they go on Saturday? What am I going to say? I'm going to say, I'm going over to the Den today. And my friends are going to look at me like, what? The Den? What's that? You know, you hear of like the lion's den. You hear of the den of iniquity. You hear of those dens. But a church called the Den? Very strange. Very strange. So, anyway, I see that I have a caller, and I'm going to get to the caller in a few minutes. But also, we're going to talk a little bit more about Kim Clement, and I'll put some quotes. I'll play some audio. But now, Ivy Hilliard, he's married to Bridget, and Bridget had a daughter named Kermesha, and Kermesha is Ivy's stepdaughter. So they've disowned her. Now, Ivy Hilliard, he's big on having these conferences for the family, and he's going to tell pastors, conferences for pastors and their families. But I wonder if they talk about Kermesha when they have this conference, because they disowned her, and she wrote a book, and it's called Going to Church to Catch Hell, Kermesha Hilliard Evans. And I'll just read a few lines here from the introduction. Growing up as a preacher's kid was not all that it appeared to be for this author. The fancy cars, private jets, lifestyles of the rich and religious, lavish luxuries, was all an extreme emotional price. Having spent her teens and early 20s providing administrative oversight of a multi-million dollar megachurch ministry alongside her parents, she decided to walk away, a decision that ripped through the fabric of her immediate and extended family. A disowned daughter, damaged relationships, and deception from the pulpit. And anyway, her book is available, Kermesha Hilliard Evans. And then, of course, when the family got wind, now this is a few years ago, she released this book, 2010. They got wind of her reading the book. Now, I read the book. I think, you know, she didn't reveal all she could have revealed. She revealed some things, but she did a lot of things she kept to herself. So I didn't find the book that damaging, really. But according to them, now here's the statement that Ivy Hilliard and Lady, Bridget, this is First Lady Bridget Hilliard. This is their statement. Recently, it was brought to the public's attention that Kermesha Evans authored and published a book which seeks to defame the character of Bishop Ivy and Lady Bridget Hilliard as parents and ministers of the gospel. While reported as a first-hand account, it appears to be more of a work of fiction, which attempts to paint them in a most unfavorable light. This is a regrettable situation. Well, Ivy and Bridget, you don't need any help being painted in a bad light, because what do you do with the gospel? You sell it. You tell people to sow seeds. You even tell your own daughter to sow seeds to you to get things. Yeah, what? Come on now. And lifestyles of the rich and famous, or lifestyles of the rich and religious? Yeah, a 40,000 square foot house. That house is something else. Now, the gospel has been very profitable for you, but what did you do with the gospel? You took it and you sold it. You tell people to sow seeds to get money and give you the money, and then you collect tithes, and then you drive a Bentley and you live in this multi-million dollar, trillion dollar or whatever mega mansion. And then when your stepdaughter and Bridget's daughter decides that there's something wrong over here, and maybe she was trying to bring it to your attention for the salvation of your soul, because one day you're going to have to stand and give an account to God, especially of how you use the name of Jesus to enrich yourself. And you lied to people about it because you can't give God any money to get God to bless you. It doesn't work that way. That's not the way we operate. We give money to each other to bless each other, because God doesn't need any money. So we don't give money to God, because what is he going to do with it? But you lie to people and you tell them that you have to give these offerings so that God will do things for you, when the Bible says that God freely gives us all things. So anyway, they disowned the daughter, and her book is available, but I'll play that clip in a minute. I want to see if this caller here has a comment. Hi, caller. Do you have a comment?
Yes. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say, like, I was a former atheist, and I became a Christian when I turned 22 a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I can kind of understand some of the issues that you're bringing up, because when I became a Christian initially, I had some of the similar objections, especially when I went to church, and there's a lot of things I kind of questioned. But as I kind of grew as being a Christian and started to read the word more and got to experience things spiritually, I started to understand that it's I don't think we should be as quick to judge these people as harshly as it would seem, and as I used to do myself, because what I've learned being a Christian is that when you become a Christian, you go from one territory to another. Meaning by that, when you're not saved, you don't have the same like force from the devil coming against you. You don't have the same level of temptation being leveled against you as when you become a Christian, especially if you become a Christian who has influence, like a pastor or someone who has some type of platform to influence other people. You move up in your actual, like, in the list of most wanted in the devil's camp. And so, you know, I think it's easy for us, and it's something I made the same mistake of, judging someone else and trying to put them down of, well, they're this and that and this and that. But at the same time, you have no idea what that person is going through spiritually. Like, you don't know what type of temptations or things they had to deal with on a personal level for them to get to that point. And so ultimately, you know, at the end of the day, it's all in God's hand, one way or the other. And secondly, we also know that Jesus warned us this is exactly what's going to happen. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised by any of this. He said it would be. So there'd be many false prophets, many false teachers, many wolves called in sheep and sheep's clothing, and this was something that was going to happen. So, at the end of the day, this is how it's supposed to be.
Well, you're right about that. You're right about that. But I think we have to point out the heresies that are being taught, because the Bible does say that we have teachers, and so teachers serve a purpose. And these people have a Bible, so, you know, as far as everybody has issues in their life, and we all go through things. But yet it's another thing when we take the birth and the death of Jesus and the penalty he paid for us, and we take that and we use it, and we have a Bible, we can read the Bible, and so even if the devil is attacking these people, they gave in because they liked the money and they liked the fame and they liked the position better than the Word of God. So that's the issue. What happens in people's personal lives, I don't know. I don't live in their house, but we all have issues in our personal lives. We're all going through things. We're all trying to work out our salvation. But it's one thing when God has given us a public platform to hold a Bible and to open a Bible and to read it and to use that Bible to enrich ourselves at the expense of people that we're supposedly ministering to, that's another thing. So that's the thing that I have an objection to. You know, because we could, as Christians, we know we can forgive adultery, we can forgive lying, we can forgive these things, and we do forgive these things if people have a repentant heart. But if we truly believe that people's eternal destinies are at stake, by the things that we say and the things that we do, then that's another issue. But I want to thank you for calling in, and God bless you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much, and have a nice day.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay, so we understand, and I hope that Ivy can come to the knowledge of the truth. And look at what happened with his daughter, Kermisha. Here she was there working at the ministry and enjoying the life of luxury there. But yet the things that she saw, and I started listening to a teaching that she had this morning on seed sowing. I didn't get a chance to listen to the whole thing, but she was basically saying the same thing, that we don't give out of necessity, which we give because we want to, not because we have to or because we want something. And because that's not really Christianity. We do things because we love the brethren, not because we love ourselves. Right? Anyway, I think someone else might have a comment. Let me see. Do you have a comment, caller?
Yes, Susan. I enjoy your show, and I think it's very important that what you are doing, you are bringing it to notice about these particular pastors and bishops and those that are doing what they're doing, because there are many people that are new to the Lord, and they do watch and cling on to these people, and some of them are not aware of this heresy, this false teaching.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it is important that you and others, as the Wolf Tracker and Eleanor, are doing what you should be doing. And I think it's very important, and I really thank you for being bold enough to stand up for what's right and to warn, or just to make people aware. If you don't want to use the word warn, then make them aware that what is really going on.
Yeah.
And to be more knowledgeable about it. Perhaps if they hear your show and and they're a follower of this particular person. I have seen him many times asking for money and money for his jets. And when Paula White was vying for that church that she's in now down in Southern Florida, he was trying to get that church as well. And there was a big thing about between the two of them.
Yeah.
And T.D. Jakes had to decide between them, you know, to just go on and let Paul. I guess T.D. Jakes was a covering over this particular, I guess, denomination of preachers, I guess. And Hilliard, from what I read, was very upset and angry that he wasn't allowed to come down there and take over that pastorship. So all of this stuff needs to be out there and to let people know. And I thank you and many others as yourself that are bold enough to, even though you're criticized, you still come on. And I never hear you really dogging them. You're just telling the truth about what's going on. And I believe it really helps those that don't know. And how do we know how many are listening that you have opened up their mind and their ears and their eyes? And maybe you'll never know, you know, until you get into the kingdom. So I just wanted to say that to you this Saturday. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. I appreciate your kind words. Thank you. And thanks for listening, okay? Appreciate you. All right, everybody. That was sweet. You know, that's the hope that we have with our broadcast, because when I saw that house today, and it's the first time I had heard the other day, a friend of mine told me about the house that Ivy Hilliard lived in, and he said it was a 40,000 square foot house. And when I went on this morning and I looked for the house or a picture of the house, and I saw it, I was really grieved. I don't care if a preacher is rich. if he made his money honestly, if he's a businessman or God gave him an idea of some kind and he was able to accumulate wealth, that's fine. But I don't know how Ivy Hilliard got his money. I know from Kermesha's testimony in her book that they didn't have a lot of money when they first started out. So if you see him on television and they have a program and they're selling miracles, they're selling favor with God, and they've accumulated this wealth by conning God's people, then I have an issue with it. And I think that the fact that he's been so successful at it, so many innocent people are going to his church and hoping that maybe they can get as rich as the pastor. Here's the pastor driving up in his Bentley on Sunday, and maybe some of those people that are going to his church came to church on the bus, or they don't even have a car. And so what's the ministry all about, really? Is that what the pastor is supposed to do, is to accumulate wealth for himself and then to set himself up as the example, the first family and the first lady? And you see, they tell you this, a lot of these men and women tell you, look at all that I've accumulated in my life. And I've accumulated this because I'm a giver and I'm a seed sower and I'm a tither. But that isn't how they accumulated it. If I was collecting 10% from people, and I was collecting, even if I was collecting 10% from 100 people, I would be making out pretty good myself. Anybody would. So that is not faith. That is not God's blessing. That is coming to a building on a Sunday and telling people that I'm the pastor here, this is my vision, and you have to give me 10% of your money so I can fulfill my vision. And if you don't give me 10% of your money, you can't be a member here, you can't be ordained here, you can't, and not only that, but then God curses you. Well, none of that is true. None of that is true. So didn't Jesus go into the temple and he was overturning the money changers' tables? And that's what we want to do, is we want people to realize, because this is an era that is so prevalent. When you see, when you turn on the television and the airwaves are permeated with these teachings, and these people have, they're still very successful at it, because they're still able to maintain their lifestyles. So you know that it's working. But we want it to stop working, really, and for people to wake up and realize that don't give these people any more money. If you stop giving them money, they're going to go away, and maybe they'll get a real job. They'll do something honest for a living, for a change, instead of conning people and lying to people about Jesus. That's the worst thing. That's the worst thing, is to lie to people about Jesus, about his goodness and his mercy to us. And he freely gives us all things for the if we ask. And he gives us what we need. He's not going to give us more than we can handle. We see what happens to people that get too much too soon. They wind up on drugs. Look at Elvis Presley. He had everything the world could have offered. He had money. He had good looks at one time. Fame, what good did it do him? Look how he wound up. He wound up addicted to, I don't know, 20 or 30 different kinds of medications. He wound up overweight. He lost his good looks. He seemed to be a lonely man, and he wound up dead on a bathroom floor. So what good did it do? Look at Michael Jackson. He couldn't even sleep at night. And look at all the money that he went through, over $1 billion in his lifetime, and he couldn't sleep. He had to be injected with a medication that people get when they have an operation to knock them out. So what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What good did it do Kim Clement in the end? when for a year, over a year, a little over a year, he was in and out of the hospital, having I don't know how many surgeries he had to wind up having, having a brain surgery on his head. And all the prophecies that were coming forth, look, I have compassion for the family. It's not easy to lose a loved one. They loved him. They loved him. But it was like a friend of mine said the other day, he didn't hear anything from the family about the false prophecies, about the error. And I read to you comments on his website from Kim Clement himself about being born again. These are the kind of things that Jesus said we have to look out for. He said, because there's people out there, they're ravening wolves, and they come in and they try to distort the truth, and they do capture people, because there's many, many, probably millions of people attending these so-called churches and believing another gospel and believing in another Jesus. So I'm going to play this clip, and you'll hear yourself from Ivy Hilliard and his family. And you hear the family saying that Ivy Hilliard says, well, my wife is my queen, and when my children need something from their dad, then they have to sow a seed. Now, you know, my parents were simple people. You know, they were hardworking people, blue-collar people. I never went up to my father, and I never, you know, called him by a title. I called him Dad. And I never put when I needed something from my father, I never put any money in his hand. And I said, here, Dad, I'm sowing a seed into your ministry. I never did that. Never did it. It's ridiculous. It really is. It's just really ridiculous. So I couldn't believe the whole thing. But anyway, here's the audio.
The real family. You know, we have real issues, and so if they can see how we deal with our issues and how we deal with our situation, like I'm a hands-on mom, and my kids are always teasing me because I'm in everybody's business. I want to know what's going on. So, you know, when other pastors come and they have the opportunity to see how we interact with one another, how we interact with our children, and like you said, how do you make the separation? Well, our children know this is our man of God. And when they're going through situations in their lives, they know if I need my dad to get in agreement with me, I'm going to come and I'm going to do exactly what the word says. I'm going to sow a seed in my man of God's life, and I'm going to believe my man of God is going to pray for me and get in agreement with me. But when I just need Dad, I need a hug. Dad, I just need to talk to you. Or Dad, this is what's going on. And, you know, we have grandchildren, so that means we're seeing them raise their children. So they have an opportunity to now do what we did through them. And so they'll have situations with their children. They'll say, well, Dad, how do I handle this? Mom, what should I do with this? And so one of the things that they can see is they see the example of how we've done it with them, and now they can do it for their own children.
You need to save the date. Prepare yourself, save the date, and allow the shift to take place in your life. It's not a mistake. It's a powerful, powerful family that is sharing. I remember the very, very first time you came on the show, and you began to talk about how that you left and you came back, and
right.
and so many letters came in about the piece that you said on I got myself in line, got myself in place, so nobody else was gonna be driving my Bentley. But more important than that, I believe it was one of, if not the first time, it was one of the first times nationally that people saw you all as a family. Someone that you can reach and touch, because you, when you're on television, a lot of times, like, you're a superstar, you're so far away,
right.
And y'all came on and just opened up, and no one knew. The people who've been going to your conferences, you know it, but not the world. And I want to offer you this opportunity. The conference is free. It's a seed that they're giving to you, your family, your children, and your children's children, to come on in and let them start working on your new year for you. We're going to be back in a moment, but right now I want to go.
You can't make it up. That was Ivy Hilliard's wife, Bridget. And she said, well, when the children want to come to dad, they come to dad. But when they want their pastor, when they want their man of God, they sow a seed. I couldn't, that one I couldn't believe. I couldn't believe it because I never did that with my parents. Never. I never went to my mother when I needed something and I put $10 in her hand. And I said, okay, Mom, now I need something. Let's pray. Here's $10. And but Mom, I'm giving you this 10 and I want 100 back or I want 1,000 back. Okay, Mom? I never did that. We never did that in our house. I don't know. I guess none of you ever did that either, right? No, you never did that in your house. And the Ivy Hilliard house, now the Bishop Ivy Hilliard, and they do it in his house. And then his wife, you know, the poor thing, that she's been drinking the Kool-Aid so long that she even says that. And we have grandchildren we're raising up, and the grandchildren see how we handle our children. You mean your grandchildren? You're teaching your grandchildren that when they need something from grandpa, they put $10 in grandpa's hand, and then they pray, they come into agreement? It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. You know, it's really ridiculous. But anyway, here's another clip here where, you know, Ivy, he brags about Bridget being his queen. And anyway, here.
It's way back. Right. You were doing stuff back then that people are coming to right now.
Right.
And it was 19 pages of spread of all the different things that you're doing, and there was comments under it where, and I wanted to bring it, and I didn't bring it because I just wanted to floor you. Now, I said that to say this. You look the same. I got to send you that message.
Praise God. Well, that's good. He renews my youth as an eagle.
No, she looks good because of me.
Take credit for it.
Yes, that is true. Yes. Because if I was all stressed out and I couldn't handle it, then I wouldn't look this good.
Right. If she was all mistreated and abused,
yeah,
she would be looking like this.
No,
man.
No, not at all.
That's my queen.
Yes. Yes.
That's my queen. And I told her, you know, people look at us and they say, man, he's an overnight success. I tell them it was a long night.
Yeah.
You follow me? Because, you know, we started very small and we grew. And during the tough times, that's why I tell a lot of pastors, because they go through this rough season. And it can get rough in being a pastor and that sort of thing. There's a lot of sacrifice that pastors have to make. And I promised Lady B when doing those rough days, I said, if you just stick with me, God's promised me some great things. And when those things manifest, you know, I'm going to make you my queen. And my chief joy will be to make you happy. Well, now watch this. If that's the case, I don't have no room to fool around.
Right.
I don't want to fool around. Mm-hmm. I'm making her happy.
Yes, exactly.
You follow me?
Yes.
Where I am, that she is also.
Ah.
Well, now watch this. It is that example.
Now watch this. You follow me?
It is that example that pastors need to see.
Right.
You follow me? And unfortunately, I did not see that coming up.
Mm.
I didn't see it coming up. I was around more pastors that were unhappily married.
Mm-hmm.
And was talking against marriage than I was with those guys who were enjoying their wives. And so I'm saying, let's chart a new course.
Yes.
This is a happy family.
Yes.
Do we have some issues we have to deal with? We deal with them by the word,
yes,
and we move on.
Yes.
You follow me? And what God's done in my family, He can do it for any family.
Yes.
Your conference is coming up at a very, very difficult time in Christendom, because there are things.
Yeah, well, I don't know. he said it. He said, she's my queen. We'll go take a look at their house. It looks like a small castle. So I guess she's your queen. And he called Lady B. That's another one, Lady B. You mean at home you call your wife Lady B? You don't call her Bridget? Oh, Lady B, he calls his wife. Well, everybody's got a title. Oh well. Anyway, they're so wrapped up in their importance, you know. They're so wrapped up in how important they are. I am going to play a couple some of the audio also from Kim Clement, but I wanted to go over the story with you about Brian Karn. Now, Brian Karn, a few months back, he gave a prophecy. It was probably a year or so ago. But anyway, he gave a prophecy, and he was reading a paper. He had it on paper in front of a church. And he was telling people that these were his words for 2015 or something. It was 2015, I think, or 2016. But he went over all these prophecies for the year. Anyone, some great researcher on the internet went and looked up psychic prophecies for the same year that were given by psychic witches, not Christians, psychic witches. And the researcher found a woman psychic who had given the exact same word, the exact same words that Brian Karn gave, okay? Now, the witch psychic prophecy given by the lady psychic was given before Brian Karn gave his so-called prophetic word for the coming new year. Now, there's no way that he didn't copy this woman because it was word for word. And if I have time today, I'll play the audio for you so you can hear it yourself. You'll hear the lady witch come on and give her word, and then you hear Brian Karn give his words, which was exactly, almost the exact same quotes that she gave for the new year. And then Brian Karn, of course, when he got found out, oh, he was saying that these people should, I think even at one point he said they should drop dead, or they're gonna die or something because they're coming against the man of God. Anyway, that was the beginning of the end for Brian Karn, because he was everywhere. He was the Daystar, Marcus and Johnny Land gave him his own program, and Benny Hinn had him all the time, and Rod Parsley. He was everywhere, and Brian now, he's a young man. I think he's in his 20s. And he's flying around in a jet, and he's living the life. He's buying houses. He's leasing a private jet, and he's jetting all over the place to all his ministry engagements. Anyway, after this story came out, he fell out of favor with a lot of these people. I don't think Rod Parsley's had him back. I think Benny Hinn still has him, but that goes to show you about Benny Hinn. But anyway, there's a story that came out last week. This story was posted, it was posted on October 28th. Brian Karn is being sued for close to $1 million and has had his plane repossessed. And there was a lawsuit filed against him. And it's come to light, and the lawsuit is on record, so you can go and view the documents. And but this is what happened. Now, Brian was flying around in this jet, and it's quite a nice jet, and he was leasing this jet, and he was paying, I think, $16,000 a month to lease this jet. And let's see, he was making monthly payments of $18,000, having paid only $20,000 of the $30,000. He wasn't paying his bill for his jet. So the charter company filed a lawsuit against Brian. And meanwhile, now Brian wasn't paying his bills. Okay, so it says that the company is seeking back rent and future rents totaling more than $716,000. plus several items of personal property. And it was him and another minister that were leasing this jet. So now Brian knew he wasn't paying his bill, but yet he was still flying around in this jet. So they had to, the owner of the charter company had to go find the jet, and they had to confiscate it. I wonder how Brian got home after that. He might have had to fly like the rest of us, right? Anyway, that story is online if you wanted to read the story. It's also got a copy of the court documents of the lawsuit. And the thing is, you know, if Brian really was a man of God and someone pointed out to him, now, Brian, you've been caught lying, okay? You've been caught saying that you're prophesying and you got these words from God, and meanwhile you got them from a psychic. There's no doubt about it that he got it from the psychic. You think that he would have, instead of cursing people and saying people should die for coming against him or whatever, you think that he would have cried out to God? You think that he would have got down on his knees and he would have said, God, I'm lost and undone. Please, God, I'm a man of unclean lips. Forgive me. And that he would have said thank you to the person that exposed him. And he would have said, thank you, God, for exposing me. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to repent and get my life right with you. But no, he won't do that. No, he wouldn't do that because it was too lucrative. It was too lucrative for him to be flying all over in a private jet and living the high life, and he didn't want to give all that up. But so what? You might not want to give it up, but it might get taken from you. Remember what happened to Jim Baker years ago when he was flying high and he had one of the richest ministries in the world taking in hundreds of millions of dollars a year. It was all taken from him. It was all taken from him. And he wound up in prison for 5 years. It was a very sad, heartbreaking story. But God has given Brian Karn an opportunity to repent. He has exposed him publicly, and yet still no, Brian will still not repent. And we talked about this last week or the week before, actually, where he predicted that Hillary Clinton was going to get elected, and it's on his YouTube page where he predicted it. And, of course, we know Hillary Clinton didn't get elected. And so that didn't come to pass, and he also predicted on his YouTube channel that the Indians were going to win the World Series. Well, that didn't happen either. So it's like one thing after another, and the whole thing is collapsing around him. I don't know. Maybe they're going to come for his houses next. If you don't pay your bills, you know what happens? They don't have any mercy on you anymore. They take you to court now if you don't pay your bills. You go to court. And the credit card companies and whoever, they sue you now. They don't have mercy on you. You have to pay up. So anyway, when everything starts collapsing around you, it's a sign from God that you need to get your life right. So what if you have to give up the jet and the fancy hotels and the fine food and the big houses and the Bentleys and the Rolls Royces? So what? Who cares? I'd rather have my sanity, and I'd rather have a relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ than to have all that, because I don't know anybody that ever took it with them. Do you? I don't know anybody. I never saw a hearse following people that was full of people's possessions. Never saw that. Your possessions will be left behind for your relatives to fight over, probably. But anyway, that's the thing. Okay, see, it's all crashing down now on Brian Karn. All crashing down. So Anyway, no, he was never saved. Amen. You're right. No, Brian Carden's not saved. You're right. He's not saved. It would be a good idea. It would be a good opportunity for Brian Carden to get saved. I was thinking about that this morning, how if you go and you listen to some of his YouTube things, he says he talks about mother so-and-so and these mothers in the church that helped him grow in the Lord. Well, no, he doesn't know the Lord. No, he doesn't, because nobody that knows the Lord cons people. They don't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You have conviction, because when you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit who convicts you of sin. That's what the Bible says, that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. We know when we sin. We know when we're doing wrong. We know it. And so, no, you can't be saved and then continually for years upon years continually con people just to get offerings. You can't be saved and do that. You're just not saved. I don't care how many times they say they love Jesus and they talk about Jesus. No, because if you are saved and you are not hearing the voice of God as far as repentance, and that you're not trying to change your ways, then you can't be saved, because you have no conscience. Or maybe you've become a reprobate. Maybe you've totally become a reprobate then, and there's no hope for you. But no, that kind of Christianity doesn't fly. So Paula White, she's not saved. No, she's not saved. Brian Carden, no, Brian Carden's not saved. No. Ivy Hilliard, no, he's not saved. No. T.D. Jakes, no, T.D. Jakes not saved. No. No, because you don't get up, like I said, week after week, year after year, and tell people lies about the gospel. You just can't do it and be saved. You just can't. You can't. You're convicted of sin. And when we've come to the place as Christians, when we're no longer convicted by our actions, then we know we're in trouble. We are in big trouble. So, you know, these people need to sit down and they need to have a good cry before the Lord and to ask for his forgiveness and to repent to the body of Christ and tell the body of Christ the truth about what they're doing. Just come clean. So what? If you have to give up the fancy lifestyle, at least you'll be able to sleep at night. You won't wind up like Michael Jackson and somebody has to come and inject you with an anesthesia drug to put you to sleep. Amen? So, anyway, here was a prophecy that was given by Kim Clement. Now, Kim Clement gave a prophecy about the Pope, okay, that God was going to start bringing, you know, was going to unite us together. Well, no, God's not going to unite us with the Catholic Church. That's not going to happen. But anyway, here's a prophecy that he gave a few years ago.
The Spirit of God shall fall in buildings of rock and stone.
It is my time to invade the Roman Catholic Church throughout the earth, as it has been spoken. It is time for my favor to rest upon my people. Oh, wait, wait, watch and see. For my spirit has been hovering above the land. As I was in the beginning, so it shall be at the end.
Yeah, God's going to invade the Catholic Church. Yeah, he's gonna invade it all right. Yeah, he's going to invade it all right. They're not saved. No, the Pope is not saved. And the Catholic Church is a cult. And it's a false religious system. They actually believe Jesus lives in a wafer. I mean, that's how bad it is. I even had a family member say that to me a few weeks ago, they said, well, they were going to call the priest about something. So I said, well, why are you going to call him? He doesn't even know God himself. So what kind of help is he going to give you when he doesn't even know God himself? And anyway, he believes Jesus lives in a wafer. And the family member said to me, it's in the Bible. Yeah, it's in the Bible that Jesus, just try to rationalize it in your mind that Jesus Christ himself, remember, he died on the cross, he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, he was in a body, he ascended into heaven, right? So, they actually believe that then Jesus comes and he breaks himself into little pieces all over the world every day, in millions of Catholic churches, and they have a mass every day, and that Jesus breaks himself up and he puts himself in wafers, and then people eat them. Where do people get this stuff from? So I said my piece to the family member. I hope that I had sowed that little bit of seed of truth into their mind that Jesus is a real person. He's real. He's real. You can talk to him. You can touch him. He doesn't live in a wafer. It can't happen. But anyway, so no, God's not going to invade the Catholic Church. That was one of Kim Clement's false prophecies. Then when he was sick, here's one of the people from his church saying how, you know, God was going to, they were prophesying that he was going to be healed.
Many sleepless nights. Most of that backlash was not from witches and the occult, though they targeted him as well, but from within the body of Christ. He was attempting to serve with as much prophetic integrity as possible. God is now letting Kim rest the season. And I love this part. Kim is too much of a warrior to do so voluntarily. And you know, just so all of you know, we haven't had a personal relationship with Johnny Enlow. We will now, for sure. But he doesn't even know Kim on an intimate basis like the rest of us around here. So this is very why we also felt this was so accurate. Kim is too much of a warrior to do this voluntarily. He is like a star injured athlete who the coach can see needs to come out for some attention and rest. But the player is so engaged in the game, he practically has to be dragged off the field. Kim, the warrior of mercy, had to be pulled off for a season of R&R, but the coach waited until the win was secured. The hope-filled and hopeful destiny of America that Kim repeatedly prophesied has been secured, and so that assignment is over. So thank you, God, for our prophet Kim and the courage he exhibited. And then he says, the prophet of mercy will come back as a prophet of glory. When Kim comes back, he will seem in many ways like an entirely different prophet. He's being rewired and reconstituted for another assignment. He'll come back as a prophet of glory and a prophet of the presence. His words will be very weighty and will infuse wherever he speaks with the presence of the King. I believe we will be disappointed if we look for the old Kim to come back because there's a 2.0 version of himself that's what is being prepared right now. If you look in the future, he looks much better. You've got it. I love you guys. He says, the Lord has made it clear to me that it is a very serious offense in his sight for any of his prophetic voices to be releasing fear into his bride. And Pastor Fawcett quoted this last week. The morale of his troops is uppermost in his mind at this time. No general remains a general very long if all he does is tell how strong the enemy is or how overwhelming the fight is going to be. This is particularly so when the side one represents carries overwhelming superior firepower, as does ours. Any prophetic voice that instills any level of fear or anxiety in the troops is working against the commanding officer that he serves. All high-risk and dangerous scenarios are dealt with at a commanding officer's level, and you do not pass that on to the troops themselves. Prophetic voices are to sow fear in the enemy's camp, not into the bride's camp. If you want to be a prophet of God in these days, you must learn to look at dry bones and prophesy life into them rather than telling the dry bones how dry they are. New Testament prophets find the treasure hid in the field rather than just tell how bad and dirty the field is. We are slowly making the shift, but this will greatly accelerate in 2016, and upgrade is taking place. And he closes and says, Lord, thank you for the courageous service of your servant, Kim Clement, and may he be retooled for his even greater stage 2 assignment. Isn't that good? An update. How's it going there? You've been at the hospital, and you were there this morning.
I was.
it's going. And I think the biggest thing we all have to remember is that the biggest miracle has already happened. He's
right.
still with us, and that's because of you guys and your prayers and your love and your support as well. And the family has had to look to are the small miracles that really happen every minute with Kim right now. It's such a slow process. It's a brain injury, and a lot of people, I've never had experience with this kind of thing before in my family, you learn that every single person is different. It's so difficult for the doctors to tell you what to expect. And so keep praying for your huge miracles that you're praying for. But pray for the little ones, because we see, you know, tiny, tiny ones every day with Kim, and it's slow and it's agonizing.
That was at his den over there, and some of the women that are with his ministry, and I guess one of his children, but that was probably somewhere a few months into his illness, which lasted about a year and 2 months, I think, when he first came down with his health problems. But you notice that they were saying he's coming back. They got a prophecy from some pastor or some other so-called prophet that he's coming back, and it was only because he needed a rest, and he wouldn't rest on his own, so God had to force him to have a rest. But he was coming back, and he was going to be bigger and better than ever. But, of course, we know that didn't happen because last week he passed away. Here's another friend of Kim Clements giving a word there at the den.
Did you ever say, I said that's wrong? We're speaking in the natural terms. We're speaking from the soul realm. Your spirit is not bound. Your spirit does hear. Your spirit does. Kim was here. He was here and is still here. Because if you're here and you love him, then the spirit that the Lord put on him, because he is the greatest prophet in the land, he is the John the Baptist of our time. That spirit, called Holy Spirit, put on him, is released through him into you. And so you can see that the team was magnificent, and they will continue to be magnificent. Because as Kim's body is, listen, as Kim's body is resting because of all the battles, and another thing that we need to I would just submit to you, which I know for fact, that the beatings that he has taken from the church and from people calling him false prophet, the wounds that are deep inside of him and has affected what's taking place. The Lord has him resting there because he's getting instructions, directions, and commands to come and finish the race. But it was beautiful down there how you read the journal, because he always does those things if you understand him. So I'm in a complete agreement with the family, 100%, 1,000%, and with the team, always have been. And with all of you here, and those that watch from around the world. And I speak as Jesus did when he set up the resurrection power that he walked in to be released in others in the earth. He set Martha and Mary up. And when he got her where he wanted her to be, he said, now, because some are in the future, some are in the past. That's the church. But God is the God of now. When the Lord revealed who he said he was to Moses, he said, tell him, I am. tell them I am. I'm present tense, the God of the now, present tense, now. So he's in the now. Kim is resting and healing. And one more thing about the mind.
Anyway, that's his buddy. I think his name is Michael Babin. Strange looking guy. Anyway, none of those things came to pass. These people were giving these words before Kim passed away about how he was going to be healed and he was coming back and he was going to be bigger and better than ever. And of course, none of that happened. Our life is in God's hands, and there wasn't up and I haven't heard anything or anything from the family, anything about repentance or about the false prophecies, many of the false prophecies that Kim Clement gave and the damage that he's done to the body of Christ through his false prophecies and his false beliefs. And like I read before, the most stunning one is the fact that he said you didn't have to be born again. So that's very stunning. And I'm going to pull up a couple of these Brian Karn quotes and close out the program with them. So we hope it would be wonderful, wouldn't it, if these people could repent and get right with God, because I'm going to read this scripture from Psalms, and this is such a great scripture for all of us, and especially for these people who enjoy money more than they enjoy Jesus. Psalms 84, verse 10, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Amen. Amen. That is a great scripture. And that's the scripture that we would give to these people. Is it's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to enjoy ill-gotten gain and riches which can be easily taken away. So they're here 1 minute and gone the next. But here's the psychic. Now, here's the psychic lady giving the prophecy that Brian Karn then totally repeats. So you'll hear her first. Now, she's a full-fledged witch, psychic, which Brian Karn's a psychic.
My 2015 predictions, and again, I do this on 2/8/14. Now, the first thing that I got is pork contamination around the world. There will be a new strain of pork disease. People will be afraid to buy pork, and much less will be consumed. The pork business will take a hit.
But I want to tell you lots of stay from pork next year. He didn't tell you that not so much because it's not good for you as much as, I mean, you know it really ain't good for you. But more because there's a disease gonna hit the pigs.
Well, the second thing I got was watch George P. Bush rise in politics in 2015. He has the charm and personality of his father Jeb and the intelligence of his grandfather. But as George P. Bush's political star rises, his grandfather, George Sr., diminishes. I see George Sr.'s health taking a turn for the worse, and he does cross in 2015.
Remember that George P. Bush was going to rise to power? I believe that's Jeb Bush's son. He said to me that the daddy, President Bush Sr., like I saw him, I saw his health take a turn for the worse, and ultimately he got out of here.
Problems continue in America. Watch the East Coast get hit a lot with these wild storms, power outages up and down the East Coast, Also, mid-state seeing an increase in storms and power outages. Huge fires in California. Please be careful. Now, I'm in Pennsylvania, and I wasn't happy to get this prediction, but those of us on the East Coast, we're really going to get hit, especially Florida. Really, Florida. Watch. In fact, my God said, those of you in Boca Raton, the houses come down this time. So please, everybody, I keep saying buy generators and have survival kits. We're just going to continue to get extreme weather, East Coast. And again, a little bit in the middle states there. And California, watch your fires. Watch your fires, California.
The East Coast is going to have a whole lot of storms. That hurricanes are going to be crazy this year. Hurricanes are storm. I mean, so bad that every night on the East Coast, there's going to be a lot of power outages. A lot of power outages. Up and down the East Coast. As I told you, if you got in the family in Boca Raton, Florida, that's rich people too. But if you got in the family down there, just tell them to be very careful. When they tell them a storm is going to hit that area, listen to them because it's going to hit. And I saw houses going down. California's going to have a whole lot of fires this year.
But again, we're in the new age of the feminine, so it actually makes sense. Again, women more masculine. So it's all kind of evening out now, I guess. Okay? And as the heterosexual male and female roles become muddy and complex, the homosexual community comes forward as a new love story. Not only will gay marriage, gay commitment ceremonies continue on, but they will flourish.
Yeah. The feminist movement is going to come forth. The homosexual agenda is going to flourish. I mean, it's gonna really get big.
Now, I see a health scare for the...
It's unbelievable, isn't it? You hear the psychic now. She gave these predictions months before he gave his. So, you see, she gives her predictions, and then he's standing in a church holding a piece of paper months later, and he's reading all these points, and before he gave the points, he's saying, the Lord gave me these points for the year. And you see, he's repeating her word for word. And then he comes back, and I'll play a little bit of this clip, and he comes back, and he's angry that people on the internet are saying that he got his predictions from a psychic. Well, you heard it yourself. He basically gave her predictions word for word, and then he called it God. Oh, Brian.
I've heard from heaven about this thing, and I'm ready to address it. Anybody else that ain't gonna get it, too bad. I'm gonna deal with it. Listen, I've been led of the Lord here in South Carolina. The power of God moved in his service. I've consulted God when David was at Ziklag in the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. Everybody wanted him to talk, but he had to wait and hear from God. He waited and heard from God at Ziklag when all his stuff had been taken from him. Tell my men in here to turn their prayers. I don't know why they walk on barefoot. They can look at me. When all his stuff had been taken from him, everything, life gone, city left in ruins, he said, Lord, what shall I do? What you want me to do? And God told him, pursue, overtake, and recover all. And guess what? He said, you shall without fail recover all. The Holy Ghost has given me my release to address it. But he told me not to do it until the 48 hours of prayer. Let me tell you, I will address this attack from the pit of hell. Every liar, you're going to burn. God don't deal with you. Every person who has spoken, I'm going to address this in the Holy Ghost. You people that support me, believe in the anointing, the ministry, and the man upon my life, I'm going to tell you this very clearly, and I'll go into detail in Houston. I never had to follow no witch. Witches follow me. I ain't never had to follow no witch. I'll make it very clear. I will address this in Houston, Texas, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost at the 38 hours of prayer. But I'm going to tell you very clearly. It's an...
he's angry. He got mad that he was exposed. He said, I ain't never had to follow no witch. Yeah. I don't know. Now, certainly sounded like it to me, but Brian, you know, Brian's in trouble. Brian's in trouble. And we'll just wait and see, because let me tell you something. When God decides to judge a person, no, it's much better. It would have been much better for Brian to listen to what people were saying instead of saying they're going to burn and they're liars. It would have been much better for him to repent, because God gives us an opportunity to repent. And then eventually judgment comes. And I'd rather be judged by the brethren than to be judged by Almighty God. I would. Because, yikes, I wouldn't want to be Brian Karn right now for all the money in the world. And he's in trouble with God, I'll tell you. He's in trouble with God. So, yeah, we'll wait and see what happens. But be good for this young man to sell out to God and give his heart to Jesus and quit the psychic network that he's running over there, because it's not going to work. You know, it works for a while. It does. It does work for a while, but eventually it comes to an end, and usually the end isn't very good for most of these people. So it's awful, really. But anyway, that's our program for today, and I want to thank everybody that stopped by the chat room today. We had quite a few visitors here, and all our listeners for these many years on Blog Talk Radio and on the Rapture Radio Network. So God bless you, everybody. Have a wonderful day, and stay safe. God bless you. And remember, the most important thing today is to give your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, and he did say in John, the 3rd chapter, that you must be born again. First, you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Repent of your sins today, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned, and we need God's mercy, and we need his grace. And it says in the book of Romans that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. We must confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's a wonderful life to be a Christian, because we know that no matter what we do, we can ask God to forgive us, and he does forgive us. And when he forgives us, he forgets about it. And we can have a brand new life in Jesus Christ, because the old things pass away and all things become new. We serve a wonderful Savior who freely gives us all things and gives us eternal life. And we know that where he is, we can be also. Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he is coming again. He's going to come back to the earth. And we will see him in all his glory, and we can be with him. And we can have a home in heaven, because heaven is a real place. It's a real city. And we can go there. And we can know we can go there. And we don't go there because of our good works and what a good person we are, because there's no good thing in us. It's only because of Jesus Christ that we have any goodness in us. So give your life to Jesus today. Ask him to forgive you, and he will. and enjoy your brand new life in Christ. Goodbye, everybody, and God bless you. Until next week.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.